here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Denver Broncos. This is the Broncos Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Broncos Wire editor, Joe Heath.
Welcome to the brand new Broncos Wire Podcast. I'm Ryan O'Leary, joined as I will each week by John Heath, the managing editor of the Broncos Wire website, to talk all things Denver Broncos football. John, I'm excited to kick this project off with you, man. Thanks for joining me.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Now, this podcast is powered by the USA Today Network. We'll have fantasy football advice coming up a little bit later in the show from the huddle, as well as sports betting tips from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire. But first, John, Drew Locke entering his second year. We've got Melvin Gordon in the backfield after his kind of awkward finish with the Chargers. You still got Von Miller leading the defense, but I think overall there's a lot of question marks with Denver. It's an interesting team as we're entering week one of the season. What's the state of the team right now in your estimation?
Yeah, it's a really hard thing to predict, because with COVID and the way the offseason has gone, it's hard to predict how the season will play out even more so than a normal season. It's always hard to see how an NFL season will go. What if Patrick Mahomes gets COVID and is out for 2 weeks, one of the weeks the Broncos play them? What if Drew Locke is out with COVID? But, you know, with things that are impossible to predict aside, I think it's probably easy to see the Broncos offense getting off to a slow start, because they have a new offensive coordinator. They didn't have their normal OTAs. They didn't have their normal mini camp. Drew Locke, yes, he looked good in the five games last year, but that's a small sample size. He's not going to take he might take a Patrick Mahomes leap, but it's probably unrealistic to expect him to take a Patrick Mahomes leap, especially right out the gate. And their new young receivers are exciting, but they've got to gel and get some camaraderie with Locke in the offense. So I think the offense might be slow starting initially, but the defense in their second year under Fangio, I think they'll be solid. They were top 10 defense last year. I think it's fair to expect them to be a top 10 defense this year. So I think it's fair to expect them to be competitive this year, but I think the offense will probably start slowly.
Yeah, and you mentioned Drew Locke. You kind of answered my question that I had for you. But, you know, he was drafted to be the franchise guy, right? And like you said, he's not coming off a full season. He only had a few starts last year. Now he's taking the reins. And what kind of leap are you expecting from him this year? I mean, maybe not that Herculean leap like Mahomes where he's Superman, but like, what kind of progress is he making? And what do you think? What do you think's coming?
Yeah, he has said, and the Broncos coaches have said, the big thing they want him to do is, when he makes a mistake, not make it twice, and to learn from it and build on it. And some media guys were joking after their stadium practice the other day that he has a lot to learn from, because the offense has been kind of sluggish. He's had a couple interceptions, but it's also hard to judge because the defense looks really solid. Like I said, their second year under Fangio, a great defensive guru. So it's not like he's going against some second team defense and looking poor. He's going against a top 10 defense and having some struggles. And it's not like he's been awful. He's had his ups and downs. So I think it's fair to expect some up and downs from him. But I think fans also have reason to be optimistic. Like against the Texans last year, he looked fantastic. So I think expect him to show some progress. Expect him to get better than he was last year. But don't expect him to be a top 10 quarterback.
So another guy, and you've mentioned his name a few times here, another guy entering a second year is Vic Fangio, right? The head coach. Earlier this summer, he caught a little bit of heat when he said he doesn't see racism in the NFL. He walked that back a little bit. You know, I know this is a very, you know, a time where everyone's attention is on those kind of issues. What do you think about Fangio? Do you think he has the full command of the room? You know, what's your estimation on that?
Yeah, I think what he was trying to say might have been misunderstood a little bit. And I think they've had a lot of meetings about social justice issues, and Fangio's had a lot of conversations with the team. I don't think there's any players that resent him or look at him in a poor light. I think he's on a good page with the players, and I think he's got the respect of the team. And I think, like I alluded to earlier, I think he's got the defense down, and Pat Shurmur is running the offense, and Fangio is the head coach, so he's running the whole team, but he's got the defense down. And I think the team respects him, and I think they're in a good spot with him.
So we have our fantasy segment coming up. And from a fantasy football perspective, John, you know, Melvin Gordon is, when he's right and his head's in it and he's healthy, he's proven that he can be a really productive back. He's now he's in the Denver Broncos backfield. What do you expect from Gordon? What do you expect from Melvin Gordon this year? And where would you target him in a draft for fantasy?
Yeah, I think like you said, when he's right and when he's healthy, he's been a very good fantasy running back. And I think he's definitely going to be the Broncos' main back this year. They don't pay him $8 million a year to do a 50-50 share with Philip Lindsay. I think he's going to get the bulk of the load. And I think he's going to be the primary receiving back, and I think he's going to be the goal line back. So with all those things, he's clearly the Broncos running back to own in fantasy. And Lindsay is a good guy to handcuff, but he doesn't have a whole lot of standalone value. You could get him late in case anything happens to Gordon, even if you don't own Gordon. But Lindsay, I don't think it's a lot of standalone value. But Gordon, I think he's going as like a third string running back in a lot of fantasy drafts. And if you can get him to be your third guy, that's fantastic. I think he'll be a very solid RB2 in fantasy this year with RB1 upside, but I wouldn't draft him as your primary running back unless you're really going receivers early. And with how deep receivers are this year, I don't think that would be wise to do. So I think Gordon's a solid RB2 and a great RB3 in fantasy.
He's John Heath of the Broncos Wire. You're listening to the Broncos Wire podcast. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit 'em, start 'em. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from TheHuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about fantasy football do's and don'ts entering the final drafting weekend of 2020. Players I really like: Kyler Murray, quarterback, Arizona Cardinals. He's going in the sixth round on average as the fifth overall quarterback chosen. You can wait a little bit from the Lamar Jacksons and Patrick Mahomes of the world and still get very similar value. Running back Raheem Mostert had his contract squabble settled in the offseason, and he's ready to rock and roll in one of the best running back systems in football. Invest as an RB2 and consider him a steal if you get him as a third. Brandon Cooks is a well-traveled wide receiver who has shown he can produce immediately everywhere he goes. He heads to the Houston Texans to help replace DeAndre Hopkins as a group of wide receivers trying to come together, catching passes from the hand of Deshaun Watson. Another wide receiver I really like is Deontay Johnson of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The second-year receiver was able to make some noise as a rookie in 2019 with a hodgepodge of quarterbacks. Big Ben is back on the field, healthy, ready to go. Johnson's going to have a superb year. And tight end Rob Gronkowski. He doesn't come without risk, but he's healthy. He had the year off to get his body right, and he's the only player on this roster we can confidently say Tom Brady trusts explicitly. On the other side of the coin, Arizona Cardinals running back Kenyon Drake is going right around the end of the first round, early second round, and he's making fantasy owners invest a killing off of basically four or five games. There's just way too much risk involved there when you can find a safer player with as much upside a little bit later on. David Johnson is another running back now with the Houston Texans. It's been four seasons since we've seen anything special from him in fantasy football. The loss of Phillip Rivers at quarterback means Tyrod Taylor's the starter. I have zero confidence in his ability to consistently deliver a ball to Keenan Allen to keep him returning round five investment. For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out TheHuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
He is special. He has very unique attributes to that are special to his game, and it's fun to watch, fun to see, and I'm looking forward to watching him continue to flourish and grow through the season.
All right, that's Broncos wide receiver Courtland Sutton on rookie wide receiver Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama. John, I want to throw this back to you. Jeudy is a first-round pick, and with Manny Sanders out of town, he almost becomes the most recognizable name in the Broncos receiving corps to start the season right now. I mean, what are you hearing about Jeudy in camp, and what kind of impact do you think he has in store?
Yeah, he has gotten great reviews from everyone at Broncos camp, and he's gotten great reviews from the defensive backs, which you really like to hear. Justin Simmons, he's a borderline Pro Bowl safety. A lot of people thought he should have been a Pro Bowler last year. He's had good things to say about Jeudy. Kareem Jackson was a Pro Bowl alternate. He's had good things to say about, and AJ Boye, when he's with the Texans, he went up against DeAndre Hopkins in practice, and he said that Judy gets out of his cuts as well as anyone he's ever seen before. So that's some very high praise, some very exciting praise for their first round draft pick. And Cortland Sutton, their Pro Bowler from last year, he's still going to be the number one receiver. He'll be the primary guy, but Judy will definitely emerge as the number two as the season goes on. I think in week one, they'll probably have Tim Patrick be across from Sutton just because Patrick has more experience and Judy hasn't had a normal off season. So I think Judy could play in the slot and kind of be like the third receiver early in the year, but I think as the season goes on, he'll emerge as the number two, and him and Sutton, I think, will be a very good combination for Locke.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Tim Patrick. He's another guy that looks like he's very much in the mix that I don't think a lot of people have heard about. And a guy like Noah Fant, too, right? That the tight end, he flashed at times last season. I mean, what do you think about the receiving corps overall as far as how much they're going to be able to help Drew Locke along here in his second year?
Yeah, I think they are in a very good – Locke is in a very good spot. The Broncos did a great job surrounding him with receiving options. And we spoke about fantasy in the last segment, but Fant and fantasy, I think, is a very good sleeper tight end. I think he's being drafted as like tight end 9 or tight end 10 in most fantasy leagues. And I think he could easily hit that and potentially exceed that. So if you can get Fant in the mid late to late rounds, I think he's an excellent tight end option. And then Sutton last year, he made the Pro Bowl. He looked really good. Jerry Jeudy, first round pick for a reason. KJ Hamler, once he gets back from his hamstring injury, he's going to add a lot of speed. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Gordon, he's averaged almost 50 catches a season. So he's a good receiver out of the backfield as well. So Locke has been surrounded by talent, and he doesn't have any excuses. If he doesn't perform well this year, it won't be because he didn't have enough help around him.
You're listening to the Broncos Wire Podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and here's what you need to know about the season opener between the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs. The Super Bowl 54 champs are favored by 9.5 points, with the over-under set at 54.5. Both numbers have already been bet down since they were first released, along with the 2020 NFL schedule in mid-May. The Texans beat the Chiefs 31-24 in a Week 6 meeting last season. Seven of the Chiefs' 12 wins in 2019 came by at least 10 points. While the Texans lost three games by at least 10 last season, one of those was in Week 17, with QB AJ McCarron under center. I like the Texans to cover and keep it within 9, tick the under as well on a number inflated by the hype of the season opener and a tantalizing quarterback matchup between Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Check out SportsbookWire.com for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to BetSlippin' Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, John, we're back, and based on futures bets for the Broncos this year, for their 2020 regular season wins, the over-under on my app says 7.5. So what do you think for the Broncos this year? Would you take the over or the under on regular season wins for the Broncos?
I think you could take the over. I think 8 wins is a reasonable expectation for them. They're obviously going to not probably win the division. You're playing in the same division with the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champions, so that'll be hard. But with an expanded playoffs this year, with another wild card spot in the AFC and the NFC, I think you can definitely get into the playoffs. And it might only take 9 wins to get in the playoffs. And I think that's something that they're capable of doing. And even if they don't go 9-7 and go to the playoffs, I think 8-8 is very realistic. So I think I would take the over.
And in terms of the AFC West, obviously the Chiefs are always going to be your favorite to win the division. But for me, it's like they got the Broncos, with the third best odds to win. But for me, it's like Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. There might not be a huge difference between those teams this year. They're all kind of close. Who do you think has the edge right now between Broncos, Chargers, Raiders entering the season?
Yeah, it's hard to judge between the Chargers and the Raiders, because with the Chargers, they lost Philip Rivers and Tyrod Taylor. He's had some success in the NFL, and he was with their offense last year. He was a backup, but he did have a year with them. So you think Tyrod Taylor is going to start the year as the starter, but then they also drafted Justin Herbert. So you expect at some point that Herbert's going to take over, and then being a rookie, they could have some struggles. So it's hard to picture the Chargers having a real solid year, especially when they lost their star safety as well. And then with the Raiders, with Derek Carr, think of him what you will. He's established. He's been there. They know what they have with him. So he's more established than Taylor and Herbert and with the Chargers. So I think the Raiders are probably a safer bet to finish above the Chargers. And then I think the Broncos have a legitimate chance for the number two spot in their second year with Fangio and Locke. If he shows some progress and the young weapons they got on offense, I think after they get the kinks ironed out early in the year, I think they'll be in a pretty good spot.
So that's our show. Thanks for joining us. Next week, John and I will be back to talk week one, Broncos Titans, the second Monday night game. John, I had a great time. Thanks for joining me, man.
Yes, sir. It was a good talk.
It was. He's John Heath. I'm Ryan O'Leary. Thanks for joining us on the Broncos Wire podcast.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.